Well, hello, Slingers. Welcome to another Word Slinger podcast. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for having me, by the way. So, I'm engaged in a lot of things right now. A lot of activities happening that are directly related to my work, my books. I thought I might talk about a bit about sort of everything that I touch and how it relates to my writing career. Because I get questions about this. And by the way, if you have questions, any questions, pop them into the comments on YouTube. For those who are listening, that's really the easiest way to reach me. If you go to youtube.com/wordslingerpodcast, find any video and leave me a comment. That's the easiest way to reach me, and I'm responding to every comment. But if you can't do that, if you won't do that, you can always go to kevintumlinson.com/contact and send me an email. But I'll warn you that that's really the slowest way to reach me. I'm usually, I don't know, I try to keep up with email, but I get overwhelmed. So that's the slowest way to reach me, but I'll get to you eventually. But if you pop in at YouTube and leave me a comment, leave me a question, I'm happy to try to answer it. So some things that I engage in regularly, things that are going on right now. There is the books, of course, my novels. I've been working on a new one that's really sort of an old one. What happened was there was a period there where I was starting a whole bunch of books, getting pretty far along, and then something else came along and I'd have to shift my attention. So I have numerous starters that I'm slowly looping back to and finishing. And my last two of my last three books were from that pile. I had a book called The Lovelock Protocol, which was a Dan Kotler book that I had started a couple of years ago and finished. I had my book Echo, which is my Quake Runner Alex Kane series. It's a great book. I love that book, but I did start that a couple of years ago and looped back to finish. And then I took some time and wrote a novella called The Silence Between Signals, which is available right now. And I call it a novella. It's practically novel length. But you can find that at my website, kevintumlinson.com. And anywhere books are sold, really, you can order it. There are print editions. So there is that, the fiction side of my business. Then there is this stuff, the podcasting, the YouTube channel. So I was describing all this to someone today, and I have a weekly show. This show, the Wordslinger Podcast, has been going on since about 2013. And its origins stretch all the way back to, you know, in 2006, I had a publishing deal, and it didn't work out. I had a traditional deal. I got a really good advance. But when I started kind of putting two and two together, I figured out that I wasn't going to be making enough to justify all the things I had to do to market the book, which was on me primarily. And I don't know. I ended up, there was an out in the contract that I could buy it back, buy myself out of the contract. But I would lose the rights to the book for a period of time. I didn't have an agent at the time, and so that was a terrible deal, but I went ahead and did it, meant paying back the advance, which I had mostly spent already, and so it cost me out of my savings. It was a bad time, bad experience, and I really thought that my writing career was over before it had even started. But then I stumbled onto what self-publishing was becoming, we'll say. Self-publishing has been around forever, but what self-publishing is today got its start, has its roots in around that era, somewhere around 2008. I wrote a book and self-published it at that time, and then a couple of years later, I wrote the sequel to that book. And a couple of years after that, I wrote the final book in that trilogy. And that was when I decided I needed to kind of change my approach. If I wanted to have a career in this, I needed a lot of books. So I came up with the whole 30-day author formula. And I have a book called 30-Day Author that talks about that in my writing process and everything. So that book was part of another turn, another legacy, and it all started around the same time as the Wordslinger podcast. So by about 2013, by that point, I had been listening to 100 podcasts about writing and publishing. And just like everybody, every other indie author at that time, if you're an indie author, the joke was, what's the name of your podcast? And so I started the Wordslinger podcast and decided to, at that time, I thought, you know, I'm going to turn this into an empire. I'm going to make this, you know, the thing, just like, you know, others have done. I was going to make the nonfiction side of my business was the thing so that I could afford to write fiction more. A chronic problem I've had my whole career. I keep putting aside the thing that I want to do and love to do and that has actually been very good to me financially in order to do something else so that I have, quote, time to write. And I almost inevitably never have the time to write. And because I'm doing the other thing. So more on that in a minute. But I had a nonfiction business. I'd already had several businesses in my career. I did video and film production for a while. I worked in radio. That wasn't a business, but I worked in radio, which led to other things, including the podcasting. I had a photography business for a time, a graphic design, web design business. And then I had copywriting. I had a copywriting business. And if you're unfamiliar, if you've heard the term but not sure what it means, copywriting is really just, you know, anything you see in writing, especially in the marketing world, is called copywriting, and you're writing copy. So I did that for and took on a ton of clients, won some awards for that, you know, did great. So I was always doing that stuff instead of writing fiction because the goal was to make that successful so that I could afford to leave it and write fiction. Isn't that weird? But it was during this time that I started focusing on the podcast. Had all this equipment left over from my film and TV and radio days. And so I started talking about publishing in this show. 2013 was when I launched it. And now here we are 13 years later, and it's still going on, and it's evolved. I now have, you know, I still have this business, this part of my business, and it does make money now, so that's great. But the Wordslinger podcast is the weekly show, and then there's a daily show called Wordslinger 10 Shots. So that's all part of a nonfiction side of my business. Now, what I haven't done in a while, several years now, is write and publish a nonfiction book. I did one called A Note from the Author, which was more like a philosophy book, kind of based, well, it was based on a journal I was keeping as of my 50th birthday. So that was like 3 years ago, 123 days of pages to fill, and I turned it into a philosophy book at the end. So there's that segment of my business, and Substack is a part of that, where I write these essays that are more about my, you know, perspective, my philosophy. That earns me money, believe it or not. The book earns a little bit of money. The blog slash newsletter on Substack earns money from paid subscribers, but also helps me as a marketing tool to funnel people to my fiction and other work. The podcast is similar. I earn money from ad revenue, from sponsorships, things like that, but it also helps funnel people to my work. And until now, I've mostly focused on funneling people to the fiction. But as of today, I decided, you know what? I need a product. I need something that ties in with the show specifically. So I'm working on a book now that kind of consolidates all this stuff. This wisdom, hopefully it's wisdom, that I've shared on the Wordslinger podcast. And by the way, you are welcome to pop in and drop a question that I might use as a jump-off point for part of the book. So, you know, you're as much, you don't get any royalties, but you're as much a contributor as anybody. So there's all those things. Within the fiction, I've diversified a little. I was writing mostly thriller novels for the past several years, but I've written some sci-fi. That novella was sci-fi. And I'm working on something that's a little more literary, and I'm really happy with it. It feels like stretching after being confined for a long time. So I'm enjoying that. I'm going to take my time with that, do a great job with that book. Looking forward to seeing what people think of it when it's done. Maybe people will be ambivalent. That's okay. I'm writing it. It's a love letter to, basically to my experience in my past and my loved ones. It's not about me, but it's inspired by a lot of things that I experienced. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what people think. So there's all these little aspects, and you may be like this too, or you may not. Maybe all you're looking for is how do I make my living as a fiction writer or a nonfiction writer or a combination of both or whatever. But chances are you are having to balance your writing against other aspects of your life, other sources of of revenue or income. Sorry for the cough. There's probably all sorts of things that you have to balance against the writing. And that's the tough part. I'm sneezing, I'm coughing. I'm like half the dwarves from Snow White. Sorry about that. It won't be edited out for your listening pleasure. So anyway, because you have all these things to balance, things start to kind of fall off, drop, whatever. So the way I keep things going is I use my intensity and my focus in a very directed way. So if I'm working on a fiction book, my intensity and focus on that is for that. And I try not to do anything else that would derail me from that or distract me from it. Now, that may just be for a day, a week, a month. But what happens is eventually I kind of run up against a wall and I need a break from it. But if I take a break and do nothing, then I stagnate. So what I'll do is turn that intensity to another interest. Now, there's real danger here to get, what they call shiny object syndrome. Like, you're working on this and it's becoming boring now. And so, what about this? I can write about dragons with race cars. And then you switch gears and now you're focused on that. And then you forget about the other thing. The trick is to not forget about the other thing. So what I do is I'll set little markers for myself, kind of like deadlines. I'm going to work on this. I'm working on this book. And I'm going to keep working on it until it's done. When I hit a soft point, a muddy middle, a slow point, and it's become drudgery to get the book out of me, then I'll do one of two things. Either I will loop back, rewrite, and edit to the point where I stopped and then keep going, or I will pause and work on something else for a finite period of time and then loop back and rewrite. And I've had to adjust to this because, this is not how it used to work. I used to intently finish a book, but I found that that's how you get to burnout. So it is good to have other things to shift your brain onto, shift your whole nervous system to periodically to help you kind of, shake off the block. I hesitate to call it a block, but the hesitation to finish something, shake that off and then run with, when you get back to it, you can run with it again. It's good to have the occasional side quest, we'll say. Now, you might do this through hobbies, and I was just having a discussion with the Writers Inc. folks. All my hobbies become careers. That's the joke I tell all the time. It's true. If I am, if I start drawing and painting, sketching and creating things in a sketchbook, then inevitably I start trying to figure out how I can monetize that. And the same thing with photography and video and all the other things that I might do to distract myself for a bit from the writing. I can't help myself. I end up steering it around to how can I make money from this. And usually I want to make money from it so that I feel free to write. That's the wrong approach. Like even podcasts, the podcasts like this one, you know, same thing. But it's a good distraction. But by giving it only finite time, it makes it easier for you to shift away from it back to the real work. So, for example, you know, I'm working on that literary novel that I was talking about. Today, Thursdays are I call them production days. And this is when I record the Writers Inc. show and I record this show, Wordslinger Podcast. And I've got all these gaps before and in between and after. And I decided that on days like this, I'm going to work on something that is not fiction. This is a nonfiction day. If I'm in the middle of something, if I'm close to finishing a book or whatever, sure, I'll use this time. But this is, it's almost like a free day, but I have to use it to produce something. And so days like this are when I will work on the nonfiction book that I just started. Every day I have on my schedule to create a video, my Wordslinger 10 shots on YouTube, 10 minutes or so of video. And those are quick and easy to produce, but they still take time. But the point there is that I've set aside times for those so that I know that, okay, I'm working on the book, the fiction. It's time for me to record a 10 shot. And so I stop, I record the 10 shot, I edit that, I get that posted. I go back to the fiction and work for a bit. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go on to something else. I have my Walking Kev videos for my personal channel, which aren't getting a ton of traffic, but are fun for me and fun for people who know me. And I've been thinking about ways to kind of beef those up. But so that's something else I have on my schedule, and it's another break from, you know, the same thing. You know, typically what happens is I start working around 6 a.m. and I basically work until about noon, and I break for lunch with Kara. And then after she's left or we're done, I start doing all these other things. But then I can, if I wish, and often do, come back to the fiction. So I've got these little projects peppered throughout my week and with finite timelines, and that helps me to shift gears. Believe it or not, it's very helpful for writing. Now, your day is going to look different than mine, especially if you have a day job, if you have to go to an office or something along those lines. You're probably not able to put as many hours into the writing each day, but you have an opportunity to do the same sort of thing I'm doing. It's just that the task that you use between writing sessions is your day job, or is your taking care of your family, or whatever it is that takes priority over writing sometimes. So you find the gaps to write in. That's the quote, making time to write. Don't get upset when there are other things that are calling for your attention. Try to engage in all those activities with some gratitude and with some patience. And you can think about the writing while you're doing it. And then when you are ready to write, you just sit down and fire that off. And that's the way it seems to work. I mean, it worked for me like that for years when I had day jobs. And even now, it's like I create day jobs for myself in order to give myself a break from the writing sometimes. Because just like, you know, writing is editing, you've heard, writing is rewriting. The gaps, the breaks that you take between writing sessions play a big role in the writing itself, more than you probably realize. You know, you got to unclench your brain every now and then. So those are kind of, that's a lot of my workflow, and I add things to it all the time. I do a little bit of, I'm starting to kind of do more like coaching calls. It started as favors for people, and now I'm like, okay, enough of this has happened. Enough people have reached out to me that maybe I should start charging for it. So I have taken on here and there writing clients or clients who need me as a coach. Kind of walk them through and talk them through. It's a little bit like this podcast, but it's more personal and I'll answer your questions directly and things like that. I haven't decided whether I'm rolling that out on a grand scale yet or not, but if you are interested, let me know. I'd consider it. And I'm considering taking on more podcasts. I know that's weird. Podcasting is another favorite medium of mine. I've discovered, I think, that I'm reading a book called What to Make of a Life. And it talks about, you know, if you've heard the term hedgehog, as in, you know, this thing that people kind of consistently rely on throughout their life. Hedgehog has one defense mechanism. It rolls itself into a ball. That concept has been applied to people's, you know, work and careers. My hedgehog tends to be my writing, but there you can have I forget the term they use in the book. He does say hedgehog, but there's another term he uses. I'll think of it eventually. But the idea is, like, you have this encoding. That's what it is. You're encoded to do this thing. And sometimes it's something you wouldn't think could be a natural part of anybody. Like John Glenn, for example, he talks about how he was encoded to be a pilot. And then as his sort of secondary encoding was to become an astronaut. Or, you know, he was so cool under pressure that it was a natural fit. I have writing as an encoding, but I also have public speaking and podcasting, broadcasting, things like that. It's just, these are things that I do that come naturally to me. You probably have a lot of the same. So you should look out for those and lean into those as a resource, because those secondary encodings, if you have them, not everybody has them, but those secondary things that you do that, you know, you enjoy, that you do well, that bring you maybe some money or some notoriety or whatever, they can actually compel and feed that encoding to be a writer. They can actually help you with that career. So, at any rate, I don't want to belabor this too much. It was just one of those things that's on my mind. It kind of justifies a lot of the stuff. I end up doing a crazy amount of stuff, and some of it ends up becoming a regular part of my routine or my business. Some of it doesn't. You know, I'm also involved in certain businesses. I'm the chief brand officer for a company called Author Anchor, which helps connect authors with author assistants. And that takes up a little bit of time, and I do some promotion and stuff on that. I'm an advisor for an app developer that's creating an app for the author market, and that takes up some time, and it's kind of fun, but, you know, I get to have input in what that app looks like and how it functions. things like that just sort of evolve naturally. They just come along naturally. Not all of it pays well. Some of it does. Some of it's getting better. But you take things on because you should consider, am I taking this on because it's going to benefit me, help me grow? Does it help me move towards my goals? Am I only in it for a paycheck? Is that so bad? If I need that paycheck, that's not bad at all. So if you're doing something only for a paycheck, it's not immoral, unethical, or wrong. It may be necessary. But if you're taking things on only for a paycheck and it's just accumulating more money and it's keeping you from doing the thing that you're really wanting to do, the thing you're passionate about, I'll just take this on because it's a lot of money, and then later I can stop and write full time. You may be missing out on some of the best writing years of your life. Just keep that in mind. I speak from experience. So anyway, I hope all this is useful. I know the Wordslinger podcast portion of my channel can be a little rambly at times. I know. I get it. It's funny, the comments and the feedback I'll get, because some people love this stuff. Some of you just absolutely love the show. They love everything I'm doing. And then some people are just like, you are insufferable. Why do you keep talking? What is your problem? Not my audience, I guess, but you still tuned in. So thank you for the ad revenue. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up from here. I'm processing a lot of this stuff myself, which is why I like to talk about it. And the new book, I think, is going to be when it's done, I think it's going to be something people enjoy. I'm taking a very conversational tone, just like I would in the podcast. And I think it's a book that's, I've needed to write it for a while. I'm pretty convinced it's something I should have written a long time ago. But anyway, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of the Wordslinger podcast. Make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. Make sure that you tell plenty of people about the show. That's how we grow, and it's how I can continue to offer whatever wisdom I have. Most of it's stolen from other people, so I bring it to you unfiltered. That's going to do it for this week. God bless you. I appreciate you being here, and I will see you all next time.
Wordslinger. Yeah.